This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Okay, Dynasty Podcasts, live from Dynasty headquarters in Pilsen, and we are here with Tasha, first time on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming up tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So my producer, Natalie, suggested, she's like, listen, Tasha's killing it. Like, she's doing awesome things. Her name is everywhere. She's on the come up. We've got to get her on the podcast or I quit. Those are her exact words.
That's very sweet. Shout out to Natalie.
Yeah. So I know you have a lot going on, and I want to get, you know, of course, all sorts of information about how you got started, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you just played a show last night, right?
I did, yeah.
How was that? Let's talk about that, because that's fresh in the mind.
Yeah, it was really fabulous, actually. It was for the Hooligan Magazine four-year art collective celebration, and they're a local DIY mag that does music and art coverage. And they hit me up to be a part of their celebration at Rec Corp, the DIY spot in Bridgeport. And it was really, really fun. There were people tabling with zines and art and merch, and all of the performances that I got to see were great. And that kind of space is great to perform in because folks there are really interested in supporting artists and supporting local people. And they were so receptive and in tune the whole performance I had. So it was really enjoyable.
Those DIY communities, and you know, Bridgeport is full of that kind of thing. It's like those are really fun environments to be in, especially when all the vibes are kind of hitting the right notes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I got started performing in Chicago. My first shows were, you know, in the basement of the dojo.
Shout out the dojo in Pilsen.
That's kind of I think it's a really beautiful way to build that community when you're starting out.
So you have, you know, I always do my research on who I'm talking to, and I looked at your Twitter. The pinned tweet is just you listing all the places you played just this year, and it's notable. It's like the Apple Store, the Metro. So I want to ask about that, but I'm just curious, like, when you've done now, it looks like a lot of different kind of places. So is there a certain, you know, do you prefer playing someplace that is like a DIY kind of like indie place that everybody has zines out and stuff like that, over playing someplace that's a little bit more structured like the Metro? Or
I don't totally have a preference, though I will say a place like the Apple Store, for example, it's a very intentionally, I think, sterile, and it's a
sure,
store.
That's their brand.
Exactly. And so I am inevitably going to have to change the way that I hold space for my show in that kind of room versus a place like for the Hooligan Party last night.
Right.
Or even sometimes Metro. I mean, the shows I've done at Metro so far have been lineups full of other really beautiful, amazing artists that embody the same kind of thing that I do. And so that space is being created and is being set by the crowd. But yeah, so I prefer a setting where all of the warmth isn't only coming from me.
Sure,
If that makes sense.
I think you nailed it. The Apple Store, I mean, that's an amazing kind of gig, but it's also, yes, very clinical.
Right.
You know, by design, that's their whole aesthetic.
Exactly.
Versus like, yeah, DIY space.
Exactly.
But that's awesome. So, congratulations on having a killer year already.
Thank you.
Only 2 months in.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been wild.
Everybody in December is like, next year, man, next year's my year. Next year's my year. And then, like, you see people's statuses, and they're like, in March, like, well, next year's my year. But, like, it looks like you're really going full speed ahead in 2018 already.
Yeah, I really love playing shows. It does get exhausting, but I believe that building the base here in Chicago is the most crucial way to establish myself as an artist. I mean, this is my home. This is my hometown. So it's special to find more and more folks in different parts of the city who might resonate with my music or who might know me, because it really makes me feel like Chicago is my city, you know? And then it makes me feel more comfortable with traveling to other places potentially to do shows. So,
well, and it's such a good time to be in Chicago.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
really is. Like, and I know that you're really connecting with a lot of the different art communities, a lot of different artists, a lot of different movements here. Like, I guess talk about some of the connections that you have in Chicago, some of the organizations you're involved with, some of the other artists you're connecting with. Like, talk about the kind of foundation you're building for yourself here.
Yeah, I guess the whole way that I started performing was when I was in high school with young Chicago authors and participating in Louder Than a Bomb, which I'm working the festival this year, actually. Yeah. I'm back with the organization. But a lot of the folks who I met when I was 15 are still making music, are still in Chicago. And I went out of town for school, but then coming back, I kind of got to step right back into that. So that made a big difference. And honestly, a huge part of building community in my return after school was the organizing and activism scene in Chicago. And that built so many connections for me outside, completely like outside of the like artist and creative and performance spaces, which I really appreciate and is a big foundation for just me as a person too.
Yeah. Was there ever any doubt when you went away for school that you may or may not come back to Chicago? Or was that always the plan? You're like, look, stuff is brewing in Chicago. I want to be part of that.
Well, I was always going to come back because I love it here. But I wasn't even planning to make music. I didn't make music until after I came back home.
Because it was poetry first, right? Like, that was kind of your initial...
Yeah. And then in college, I did mostly dance, actually. I studied modern dance and theater. And so that was... I wasn't even doing music. I honestly felt really insecure about, like, my musical abilities. And so just stayed away from it because it seemed like something I could not do. And then... eventually, I was like, oh, wait, Tasha, you're good. Just do it.
And the music was inside of you all along.
Yeah.
It's always interesting because I've heard this from other creative people who have been on this podcast, other musicians and stuff, where they talk about, like, they felt totally comfortable doing this kind of creative thing and this kind of creative thing. But then when it came to, like, the thing everyone knows them for, they're like, oh, I was so scared to do that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel a lot more comfortable with music now, or is it still kind of a scary thing when you're getting on stage?
I feel super comfortable. I love being on a stage, honestly. But there's still, in music, like, music, even in Chicago, but obviously in the whole world, is still a very male-dominated boys' club type of scene. And so being a woman-identified musician... like singer, songwriter, but also like musician, I play guitar as well. In every space I go into, it's, you know, especially for shows, it's a man sound engineer and man stage hands. And, that definitely changes the energy, and studio spaces too. Like, I've been in so many studios where every single person in there is a dude. And so that causes me to, you know, shift my perspective of what kind of spaces I actually want to be in and what kind of shows I actually want to do. So I think I feel pretty confident. I mean, I'm always learning and I'm growing and I'm getting better, but yeah, that's something that I'm always battling too, is like, well, is this insecurity coming from me or is it coming from the spaces that I'm in? Because it's really hard to have people take you seriously as a woman in the music world.
I mean, I have definitely 100% heard that. I've heard, you know, a lot of, you know, women I've spoken to, like, especially if they're, like, in their 20s coming out of college, mm-hmm. or, like, you know, people who've worked on this podcast or former students of mine, and they'll talk about, like, being in some kind of, you know, venue position or being mm-hmm. an artist themselves or being a manager, and there's that kind of expectation, whether somebody verbally says it or it's just implied, they can tell that's in the air, where it's like, oh, you're so, whose girlfriend are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah,
are you here,
exactly.
You know, with one of the guys in the band?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
I can imagine that would be very... frustrating mm-hmm. and challenging.
But yeah,
you're like, yeah, it is.
it absolutely is. Like, constantly having to prove yourself and prove your worthiness for being in that space. But I mean, that's, I think I'm lucky enough now, though, to be able to choose then, like, what kind of shows and what kind of spaces I want to be in. So I don't have to say yes to every show. Like, on this coming week, I'm doing a show at Tonic Room, and it's called Pride Night. And so I get to be on a bill with all queer, trans people of color, that's put on by women and queer women. And so that's like, that's the kind of space I want to be in. And that's like that's uplifting me and my people, you know? And so I feel grateful to be able to have a little bit more, choice in that. Yeah.
Well, and that was going to be one of the things I wanted to ask about, is like, do you feel like, cause I feel like that is, I'm not saying that we're obviously where we need to be, but I feel like there is more of those kind of communities where it's not just dominated by, like, you know, like older, straight, white males. You know what I mean? Like, shout out me. But, like, you know, it's not just dominated by people like that. You know, it feels like there's more and more of those communities that are popping up that hopefully are providing opportunities for, you know, other voices to be able to express themselves.
Right. And I think it's about providing opportunities, and it's also about taking power, you know?
Sure.
It's like, yeah. Sure, those communities are popping up, but let's make sure those are the communities then that are like rising to the top. And so it's not just like, oh, well, like we have all these communities of people of color and women, but they're not the ones who are dominant, and they're not the ones who are in charge and who, you know? So it's like, let's have those communities exist, and let's also make sure that they're the ones taking power away from all the old white men.
Well, and so, okay, so let's ask this. Like, for anybody listening, like, how can anyone in, quote-unquote, the scene and the music community and the venue space and in any of these places, like, how can they be better allies? How can they be supportive? What would you want to tell them if you could tell them something?
Yeah, I think a lot about the way you can take the things that you believe in and put it into action in your everyday interactions and the choices that you make. So, you know, it's not about like writing op-eds or going to protests always or being in like community meetings, but it's like, okay, if I work at a venue and I'm booking a show, how many of the shows that I've booked in the last month have been shows of all men or shows of all white people, mm-hmm. Or shows of all cis straight people, you know? So how can I actually do more work to look out for those people who maybe aren't in the normal conversations, right? Who aren't being talked about as much, and let me book a show with them, or maybe, and it's like, or if you're an artist, and it's like, who are the artists I'm working with, who are the right. musicians I'm working with, and it's that's not that hard actually.
Well, especially now with the internet, where it's like, right. I've been doing this for 20 years, so I'm old enough to remember when like. You had to do a lot of research to find out who was doing stuff in music and culture. Mm-hmm. It wasn't impossible, but you had to go out to places, you had to read zines, you had to read The Reader, you had to read, exactly. you know, New City and stuff like that. I mean, it's a lot like it is now, but there was no internet. You had to read mm-hmm. the, like, print version of things, and you couldn't just Google, like, who was a upcoming queer person of color? Like, yeah, there was yeah, no version
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
So now we have the resources where if you're like, how do I round out a bill with people that would be more diverse? You mm-hmm. can look that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So. And then, you know, and that's, and then people start to see that, you know, and that's going to, for artists who were like me or so many of the people that I know, where that's in our minds, then it's like, oh, well, these are the people I want to build community with. And then it starts to, that's when it feels more and more like a family. Because a lot of people talk about like the Chicago music family, but it might only feel like a family to a very small amount of people.
Sure.
And a lot of folks might still feel excluded from that, you know.
So so let's say like kind of the opposite, like instead of just speaking to the like, you know, the sound guy at this venue who doesn't recognize people, like, you know, if somebody is like 11 years, I mean, I don't know if there's any 11 year olds listening to this podcast, but you know, someone's 11, someone's 14, someone's 17, like, hey, I feel left out too. Like, how could they become somebody like part of some of these communities you're talking about
mm-hmm.
or even make their own?
Right, exactly. I think, I mean, making your own is so, that's a major key. I think being really dedicated to your art, you know, knowing what it is you want to do and what story it is you want to tell, because people aren't going to listen to you just because,
no.
just because you say, hi, listen to me, like I have something, but...
It'd be great if it worked like that.
Right, you know, and so I think being really intentional and thinking about, okay, what is the art that I have to provide? And people will pay attention to that, you know. I think trusting in folks being in tune with interesting stories and interesting art, and then being willing to, like, be brave and ask for help and ask for connections and talk to new people, because I was just thinking, about when I first came back here, I was out all the time. I was like going to shows constantly and
yeah.
just out in the world, and I really don't go out at all. I stay at home all the time. But that was so foundational for me. And like,
you gotta get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly,
it's scary.
Exactly, exactly. And then once I started actually making music and putting my art into the world, then people wanted to pay attention to it because they had that personal connection and kind of knew who I was, and I kind of could let my art speak for itself then at that point.
Well, that's best case.
Right.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Now, one example of your art that I think speaks really well for itself is the lullaby video.
Mm.
And that, to me, is the visuals are very heartwarming. The lyrics are simultaneously heartwarming and a little bit heartbreaking, too. Like, there's a lot going on in there. Talk about that, the message, the art, the kind of, like, feel of that video, how that concept came together. Because it's really, I think, very special.
Thank you. Yeah, when I was thinking about the visuals for it, I immediately thought of the two girls who are in the video. I babysit for them pretty regularly.
Oh, so like those are like your...
They're like, yeah, they're my girls. Mm-hmm. And so when I brought the project up to their mom, she was like, oh yeah, absolutely. And
it's adorable.
Yeah, so I knew almost right away that I wanted them to be in it. I mean, people always do go to... It is a heartwarming video, but the song is too, but I don't want that to be the only word or feeling that's associated with it,
no,
right?
No, there's definitely a lot going on.
Exactly, yeah. And I and because it's a lullaby and it's, you know, it is soft and it is pretty or whatever, but it's, yeah. It didn't come from a soft place, you know, it came from a very... a hurt place, but a place of like a lot of strength, right? And I think it's important for people to know, like for a black girl or a black woman to say like no to something, or to be able to say, I'm choosing to rest in this moment, and I'm choosing to say yes to myself and not to anybody else.
Like, you don't have to fight every fight.
That's a really hard thing to say.
Right.
That's like a very radical thing to say, because we're not given space to do that ever. And so I think like recognizing like it's heartwarming, but it's also really tough. Like, it's a really tough song, I think.
No, I think it absolutely is. Like, if you weren't listening to the lyrics, you might be like, oh, it's a very soft ballad. But it is, right. Like, there's a lot of edge in... And like I said, like, there's just a lot of conflicting things going on. And when you're watching the visuals, the moment that rang so true to me is, like, when the older girl, who's, like, kind of grade school age, gets mm-hmm. home, and her little sister comes and runs up and hugs her, uh-huh. and the older girl's just like, ugh, get off of me.
Right.
Like, that's such a true... Especially knowing now that they're actually siblings, that's such a right. true sibling moment.
Yeah.
Where the
yeah.
little one's like, oh, you're my whole world! I look up to mm-hmm. you! And it's so cute, mm-hmm. and also, like, sad and also heartwarming.
Yeah. No, they're definitely like that in real life.
So, you know, is that something that you see yourself doing more of? Like, kind of concepting videos that way, where, like, you're really producing the message and the visual mm-hmm. and the tone of it?
Potentially. I've hardly even thought about more videos, to be honest. But I am very excited by the idea of, because I had friends who helped direct and shoot the video. I'm really excited about the idea of doing my own direction or art direction for a video and kind of conceptualizing it from beginning to end. Because I think it's something I'd like to try and explore.
And why not try it? Like, that's the beauty of the age we're in right now. It's like everybody has access to, even if it's just on your phone, everyone has access to a camera. Everyone right. has like some version of editing software on most laptops. It's
right.
like you can just try things mm-hmm. just to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So something else I saw is that you're working on the follow-up to your Divine Love EP, right?
Yeah.
Talk about like where you are in that process, what's in the works.
It's in the works, yeah. So
okay.
I've been working.
Not pressuring you.
No,
not being
no,
like, where is it?
I've been doing a lot of other kind of work, mm-hmm. like working with Young Chicago Authors, and
sure.
So I haven't been spending as much time at this very moment, like writing and recording. But I have the ideas are there, and the plan is to have it come out via Father Daughter Records in the end of the summer or the fall.
All right,
yeah.
That's close.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah,
and it's interesting. I've had so many artists, especially like artists in their 20s who like, you know, I don't want to say like are at like the beginning of their journey or make it sound dismissive, but like artists who are like maybe in the earlier stage, like
mm-hmm,
the, you know, the beginning era of their work, and who, you know, I'll ask some variation of the question, like, how did you get your start? And Young Chicago Authors comes up so often. It's such
right.
an incubation, just like the way you hear Chance talk about like, you know, U-Media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such an incubator for so much young talent. And now mm-hmm. that you're involved with a lot of these organizations, like, how are you interacting with younger talent that is at the very beginning of what they're doing?
I'm very inspired by them. I mean, for one, I think about the poems I was writing when I was 15, and they were so awful. But there was, I mean, there was something that I was in tune with then that I think
sure.
is the same as what I'm doing now. But I think it's that same idea, right, of making folks feel as like they can be as unapologetic as they want to be in whatever space that they're in, because that is that's powerful, and that's where beauty really shines, I think, in art, is when you can tell an artist is so brave and unapologetic in whatever it is that they're embodying.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of being 15.
Right.
Some of your stuff's going to be terrible, and that's okay.
Right.
It's 100% okay. It's a little more embarrassing when you're reading bad poetry at like you know, if I was like hearing poetry at 35, people would be like, ooh, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that gif of Jonah Hill where he's in the audience and he's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be that. But when you're 15, it's like you can just try out anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What else is on deck for you? Like, you're doing the work with these organizations, you're working on new music. Like, yeah. I want to make sure we're not missing anything.
I mean, I'm kind of just thinking about the new music that's coming, yeah. And I'm doing so many shows right now.
It seems like it. Like, are you setting these all up yourself? Do you have like anyone helping you? Or
I mean, yeah, the emails come in, and I try to fit them into my schedule.
I love it though. That's killer. Though.
Yeah. So I'll take a little bit of break, a bit of a break from shows, and work on the project, and then probably come summer I'll reemerge ready to shine.
It's just killer though, and I'm so glad that Natalie connected us, and I'm so glad that you took the time to be up here. I appreciate it so much, mm-hmm. because you've got so much going on, and you're, you know, for the 20 minutes I've known you, you strike me as somebody who's not waiting for opportunity, who's not waiting around for people to just hand you things, mm-hmm. like, and be like, hey, now you can do this. Like, you're going out and making shit happen yourself. And, like, doing things your own way and building your own community of it. And I just think all that is so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I would love to have you up on this podcast again as new things are developing, mm-hmm. as the new music's coming out. Like, I would love to continue this conversation because you clearly have a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I'll keep you posted.
Please do. Tasha, I love it. And how can people find your music? Where can people follow you?
I can be followed everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, etc. at Wow, Tasha, wow.
Wow, Tasha, wow. Yeah. That's a great title, by the way.
It's catchy, right?
It is catchy.
Yeah, and then that's like my website, too. And then my music's on Spotify, iTunes, all the little places. Yeah.
You're in charge. I love it. Tasha, this is killer. Let's continue the conversation as you have new stuff going on. Thank you for coming up tonight.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the dynamic dynasty, Dynasty Descend.